Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host, and we're going to climb into some magic, some very interesting phenomena that takes place in our universe about who we are and who else is around us. Who's next to us? Who are we in association with? And who are they? We don't even know. They could be from another planet. And that's not too far out, believe me. So we're going to be talking about the extraterrestrial phenomenon and we can't be in denial. I know it's very easy to say, oh, that's all hogwash, ETs, UFOs, but you can't deny millions of experiences of UFOs on this planet. Even my mother had one following her one day out west while she was driving on the highway. And it's something that is around. We can make believe it's not, or we can understand that it is. I've done shows on UFOs before. And then the question is, okay, so if there are UFOs, who's in them? Where are they from? What's driving this whole thing? And what can we know more about? And so to help us know more about it is actually a neighbor, a guy who lives right close to the studio. And I met him recently. I'm very excited about who he is and what he does. And I think he can add to so much of what we need to know for the future. Because there's so much unfolding, miracles are going to happen, unusual circumstances that we don't know if the population is ready yet. We hope they're starting to get ready. But to help introduce that phenomenon, as a man who's been working with this for most of his life, and so he's very familiar with UFOs and ETs and for all I know, he's an ET himself. Probably is, right? So I want to introduce Mark Brinkerhoff. Mark, welcome to the show.
Hi, Peter. Pleasure to be here.
Thank you. And I'm excited that you're here because you represent a phenomena that is increasing. And we'll talk more about how many new people there are who are like you, who are having these experiences and often don't know what to do about it. And you've been around the block a few times with these ETs. So tell us a little bit about where you're coming from.
Oh, gosh. Okay. Well, people believe in reincarnation. It's kind of that.
Okay.
Also, that's how I've come from there.
Oh, so you are reincarnated.
Yes.
You're sitting right here with me. So obviously, you were born into a human body.
Yes.
You say that with strange...
It's kind of a exchange occurred, so I won't go into that, but...
Okay, so...
Things happened.
Right. So whoever you are in there, you're sitting here.
This is my first time here.
Okay, on this planet.
Right. Oh. Physically here, born.
Okay.
But I've walked the planet from other times, and that's the memories I bring with... I've remembered that and told my parents about it and everything when I was little. Like four.
I
knew about dinosaurs, I knew about different things before I was told anything about them.
Cool.
Had information about the solar system, which I wouldn't know at 4 years old.
Right.
Information about our moon, which I shouldn't know about, but I did.
Uh-huh.
And have out of bodies. What we call today is an out of body or soul travel. I was doing that, even remembering being in an incubator. So I remembered where I was going and what I was doing, and I was going back to my place where I come from, which I call home, but it's really what we would call a ship in deep space, but it's not on this dimension. It's on a higher frequency.
All right. Now, let's talk about that you're a forerunner.
That sounds crazy, but it's not true. It's true.
You're a forerunner. Because of your age, you're not a five-year-old. And, you know, now there are thousands of five-year-olds on this planet with the same story you're talking about.
That's right.
And I've had a guest on my show, Mary Rodwell, who's from Australia, And she actually heads an organization that is rounding up these kids to help them, to support them, because they are different and they don't have an easy time growing up because they're so unique. Yet they are geniuses. Mostly their IQs are around 160 or above, and they have amazing gifts, talents, and they don't believe that they're humans or fully human. They were born into human bodies, but they know that they're really from other places. And they claim that at night they often go out into space, into a ship, and that's where their real family is. And there are thousands of people saying that now, children. And what does that mean? You know, how do we hold it together? Do we go into denial and we just say, oh, these are just crazy kids? But the gifts they have, the knowledge they have, like you, Mark, is phenomenal. And so we can't mistake it. There was a teenager, actually, in Australia who made the same claims that you're making, that people were saying she was crazy. So she was examined before a large board of psychotherapists and put through the ringer. And when they were done with her, they said, she's a normal human being. She just is unusual. There's nothing wrong with her. She's not mentally disturbed. And we wish her well. Now, this is, you know, there's so many people who can't understand it and just want to throw it out the window because they can't live with the mystery of who people like you might be.
It's I feel for these kids.
Of course.
Oh my gosh. Thank God they have computers today. Back in the 50s there was nothing like that. So they can now research or find people, and I'm there if they want to email me, because I can understand them, and I might have even met them. Oh, I might have met them in the past.
Okay.
On the places I go where we teach and help people.
All right.
So I'm one of their, I work out there. So when they say friend, their family, what they mean is the most recent place they were with the people they know, or beings, you know, people. And these feel like the family. So when they're coming to the planet, like physical Earth here, everything here is unusual for them right now to fit in. The energy in the change of the energy and the frequency and the density, because it's so much lighter out there. The physical body is dense.
Oh, don't we love that?
So they feel, this isn't my home. I don't feel comfortable here. But then they go out of body at night to their home, as we call it. We call it home. And that's where E.T. got that, because I was the one they consulted about E.T., the movie, before they made it.
That's great.
So all the stuff in the movie is stuff that I talked about. So they got the home, right, and the plants and the botany and all that. But the thing was, is they live two different types of lives. They're living out there working and training and teaching on these different craft. We have different ones around the planet. It's not my craft or anything, but the beings that work here around our solar system. And then my group or friends, we come from another galaxy, so we've been here helping out with the people in this solar system, you know, to work with them too. So that's what the kids are feeling. They're feeling mm-hmm. family, close friends over here on another dimensional space, and then they have to come physically back to their body and deal with the density again, and people who don't even telepathically understand what's going on with them. So it feels like they're in two places, and that's mm-hmm. the struggle to live in two places, in a sense, because in their head, telepathically, they could still be on the ship in their mind.
And they're not all from the same place. And there are a lot of different kinds of ETs out there, too.
Yeah, yeah. I've met people who knew they were, I don't want to use the word gray, because it puts a negative connotation on these entities, and they're not all bad, and they're not all gray. They just resemble each other in that look. But they have different colors of skin tones and everything. And I've met dimensional beings that are not physical, but they are small, but highly intuitive and highly telepathic and healers. So there's beings that look similar to a gray, but they don't have irises in their eyes and different color like we do, and some have ears, some have no ears. So there are people that remember being small little beings, and they're coming here too.
Well, I believe the human form is a template.
Yeah.
And so it exists all around the universe in differences,
yep.
yet very similar.
That's right.
Because it works.
That's right. I've met different types of beings, and I've never had a negative encounter with any entity I've met with an extraterrestrial of any kind, even on a physical planet here with craft. Although, not to say there aren't some that are playful, that are scientific, they exist, but we have to be careful when we're telepathing to them. The good entities of the benevolent beings, the ones that I know and others like them, the benevolent ones, who care and want to help and not hurt anybody in any way, scientifically test anyone, telepathically you communicate with them. They will communicate back from their craft if they're hovering overhead. They will somehow let you know telepathically that that's you've got them, and they'll even move the ship to let you know that they're there, yes or no, or something like that. But the other ones who are physical and here to test or take minerals and ore from the planet or water, they don't usually send out a telepathic message. So that's the ones people have to be careful before tuning into something they see.
So if you can't communicate with them, stay away.
Right.
All right.
Really, true. Especially ones that we know that are dark red coloring craft. If they have a glow that's dark red, not ruby orange, but dark red going towards maroon, they're coming from a lower this frequency is around here. So that's one of the ones that they've always said be careful for.
Isn't there some ET policing?
Yeah.
Okay. So.
And I know people have heard of them. It's called the Ashtar Command. They actually exist. I know Ashtar.
Okay.
He's an actual being. But these people are real, and they do try to help. And they're ethereal, working from the fourth, fifth densities and sixth. That's where they have a body to work with, and they can come through and actually materialize here like a master, like Jesus, Yeshua, Kuthumi, beings like that, which I've met one, I've met them. I met Kuthumi, the physical being in Katona, New York.
Oh.
So they dematerialized. So they...
Yeah, the shop up there, right?
Just came in to test.
Oh, okay.
I was warned that it was going to happen, but I didn't think it would happen, but they said, when you don't expect it, it's going to happen. And I go, wah. But then one day I was helping somebody, and totally unexpected, it happened. I wasn't normally in Katona. I was upstate near Mayapak.
Uh-huh.
So they will come in, tune in. Sometimes you could see them walk on a street. Here in New York, I've seen some of them. They'll walk, look at you telepathically. They're about 7 feet tall, walk by, turn your head, and there's nobody there anymore. Yet, they were allowing you to see them. That's happened to me a couple of times.
Okay. Were you an advisor in the movie Men in Black?
No.
What do you think about that?
The movies?
Yeah.
I love them. I think they're fun. It's not based on the truth, but it's fun.
Yeah, right.
Because the real true Men in Black are not from this planet.
Yeah, of course. Well, I had an interesting encounter with the head of the International Space Station last year. He was... with my brother, and I was introduced to him, and I said, well, what's the first thing that anybody who meets you asks? And he said, oh, I don't know what. I said, what do you know about UFOs? And he said, I can tell you clearly that they don't exist, have never existed, and there's proof that there's no such thing. And that was it, and you couldn't talk to him anymore. So... that was a dead giveaway. He couldn't have been more obvious, being in such denial. So I appreciated that.
Yeah, so any craft landing anywhere, that's happened in England, that's happened in other countries. They saw the imprints.
Well,
so he's denying all of this.
Of course. No, but they have to. And what about crop circles?
Oh, yeah, they're real.
Yeah.
Most of them.
Most of them, right.
And I mean, now there's a lot of fake.
Yeah, but even then, they're pretty elaborate, and they're built overnight.
You can tell a fake when it's fake. That's what I mean.
Yeah,
they look
okay.
All out of whack. You know?
Yeah, because the real ones are beautiful. Wow. They're perfect.
I know.
Yeah.
And we knew a person, she's passed on now, but she used to run a bed and breakfast over in Warminster, and she told us a story back in probably 1999 or 2000. She took some Americans over to a field. And she said, oh, this is a fields that the crop circles sometimes occur. And this is in Warminster near Stonehenge and all. And they were out at night sky watching. And she says, the people go, well, what is that? And they pointed to the field. They were getting ready to go back in the car, and there were white lights hovering over the field. And they knew they weren't airplanes because they were moving differently. So they had to get back to the house.
They were drones.
And next morning, crop circle right where they were hovering. So I just had to tell you that because she was a really cool friend.
But that's what people say who have been there, that they just happened quickly overnight and in such elaborate forms that they couldn't have been produced by people that fast.
Yeah. One of my friends, Bryce Bond, who's on the other dimension now, too, he passed away in 92. He had an actual encounter in Warminster, too, where he was in a field of 3 foot or so grass, and he felt a vibration shift. And he was meditating. He was calling out. And he said suddenly he felt this frequency going around him, like a pressure when he was going around his body. And he opened his eyes, and he could see the grass going down around him in the pattern. And that was like back in the mid-early 70s.
Wow.
So then he started to see a frequency shift of people transparent forming around him, and then all of a sudden he was in a spaceship, feeling solid on the spaceship with a female being and an alien entity, which similar to the ones I've met, because I drew the pictures for him for his own help in a slide or something. And then they brought him back. They talked with him, then he brought him back, and he was in the field. So for him, it was like 15 or 20 minutes, he said. When he gets back to the field, it's dark. And it was around probably 2 in the afternoon, and his friends are calling for him. And he's yelling, I'm here, I'm here. And they said, no, you weren't. You've been missing for hours. We've been searching the fields. But now they saw the crop circle.
Uh-huh.
But that was one of the earliest things, that when the crop circle was
just... So they credited him with a crop circle.
He's standing in the middle of it, I was like...
Yeah, well, that's
it was a small one, 30-foot diameter
and,
crop
well,
circle.
Well, they're getting more and more sophisticated.
Yeah.
It's amazing. And so these are phenomena, and there's so many stories about things that aren't explainable on the planet at this point. And we need to accept the fact that we're not alone. And what does it all mean? Where is it leading us to, Mark?
Well, with the frequency of the planet that's occurring now, this has been happening since the 1960s in a slow density version, this pattern we're feeling. There's a density of higher frequency coming through. So it's been speeding up, and this is probably what the astronomers and the scientists are seeing. The planets are changing, or getting warm, and their densities are occurring a little
the
lighter.
Global warming.
Some of the other planets, the sun is emitting different ways, energy coming out. But that's just a piece of this frequency change, which is natural. It's occurring for our galaxy is moving to another area in space. And this is something I'd, spoken about probably in the 1970s, that I could see from space what was going on. We were going to head for an area, and I kept telling people we're going to head for some area in space, and this energy is going to shift. Change. It's going to be higher.
The whole galaxy.
So that's what's going on now. And that's why people are coming in. The children are coming in the last 20 years or so who are coming in to fit in with this frequency shifting for them. That's these little ET kids and other people who are coming back again to try to help one more time. And not to say it's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. This is probably a lot of times people say, oh, I feel I have a mission. That's probably where it comes from, the feeling that there was something important they came to do. Actually, we're here. We're all here. We're all ET entities, actually, on the whole planet, this whole galaxy.
Sure.
We're all from everywhere. But it's where we last came from that we kind of remember most recently, even though we don't want to go into this, but in the whole totality of everything, there is no, it's all now happening at once, but we won't go there.
Right,
because
right.
That's hard
that's
for people to grasp.
That's a different conversation.
It goes to a different thing.
Sure.
But what we're going to be seeing is... children and people having more awakenings. Their chakras are going to energize more. Telepathy, seeing nature spirits, the mineral kingdom, the kingdoms.
And that's an enhancement of our DNA.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what's happening with the solar energy, which happens every 250 or some odd million years or so. When we go through this pattern, the sun goes around our galaxy about that long. It takes to go in a whole circle around our galaxy.
261,000 years.
A million.
Is it a million?
About 250 million years for the sun to go around the whole galaxy
in
a whole spiral. So when that occurs, we have transitions because this galaxy is moving through space, too. We're not where we were 250 million years ago in space because it's moving fast. So what happens is the sun shifts with frequencies as it's happening now, and that creates DNA changes in the cell structures, which prepares the body. And so we might have extinctions occur and new species occur,
right?
Which they're finding anyway, new species.
Right, and species are often from other places to begin with.
Sometimes, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, they bring them in, I know.
Yeah, well, I think a lot has been brought here. It's been seeded.
Oh, everything's been seeded.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everything. They say this is a cosmic boot camp as a joke, but the other beings, but its reality is like a giant class of science class lapped. Everybody's got their own, you know, trays they're working with, and trays are people and animals and species of plants and everything.
Fascinating.
We have lots of things. And this planet is a unique planet as we see it in our area of space, uh-huh. for our solar system.
Right.
And there are other planets similar to Earth, but nothing as great as this planet really is because it has so much going on in it.
That's cool.
So it's known as a resource planet for millions of years.
Uh-huh.
About a couple millions of years. So any craft coming through from other places know that they can get some water here, minerals that they need, and they can mine for with these, we call them sonic cannons, but there's no other word for them on a dimensional space. They can make a cave effect and go in and get what they need with their probes. So they don't uh-huh. have to physically go in and start digging. They can get everything they need. But they know this. So we don't own this planet. No one owns it. People think they do, but they don't.
And Trump, doesn't he own it?
And the moon is not even what you think it is. It's actually it's like a spaceship, but it's set in orbit.
I know. Science has no explanation about how the moon got there and when.
Yeah. Oh, well, it came. I'm listening to it. I wasn't going to go this far, but I guess I could just touch on it. When the planet that was between Mars and Jupiter exploded, that became the asteroid belt
mm-hmm.
that we know,
right.
That was a big planet that created a balance in the system. When anything goes off balance, things have to be coming in to help with the pattern of the balance of our solar systems.
Okay.
So there's always certain numbers of planets and moons that work with the balancing. So when that exploded, they had to bring in some extra balancers.
Oh, like so this moon
moons
was
of Mars.
Brought into balance.
Our moon was That's really cool. like the, what could be like the core of an ancient planet somewhere else that was left, and they bring it in. It's designed to look, it looks like a asteroid or a moon or something. And they bring it in, and it's set, and that's it. It
wow.
works. And there's people in it. There's a base in there, and of course we know about it. You know,
the secret government knows about it.
Yeah, they know. But we've been over there so many times. I've been out of body there and seen what's going on. So when I met Ingo Swann back in the early 90s,
he identified it also, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So when we talked about it, I said, "Well, I've been to the moon too, and this is what I saw." He didn't say anything. He goes, "Oh, what else did you see?" And so I told him what else I saw on the other side. Yeah. He's like, "Of all the people I've met on the planet, you're the only one seen it I've seen." So it was like that. That's what connected us more. But it's true. And then I took a course at the Museum of Natural History in 1978, a little mini course on the astronomy thing, just to see what they say, because they'd mentioned the moon. So uh-huh. I went there for that.
Okay.
I had to wait for the whole course. And at the end of the course, it wasn't really a big deal. It was just talking about the planets and where they're located. And the guy said, he says, "The moon is a very unusual object. It's hollow, and we don't know why." So at the end of the class, I went up to him and I said, "Why didn't you say that? It's hollow?" He says, "Yeah, I wasn't really going to say that." Well, I say, "It's true." And he goes, "Yeah, but we don't talk about it."
Uh-huh.
But that was back in 1978. So, you know, everybody knows.
All right. Well, it's exciting that we're talking about all this, because I think this is very valuable information to understand our nature. And we're living in such an ignorance of who we truly are. And it's so important to expand that and to realize our universal nature and our galactic nature, not just our earthly human nature, which is extremely limited,
mm-hmm.
but expanding at this point.
Yeah, we're galactic souls, all of us are. Intergalactic, actually, and interdimensional. Mm-hmm. And not just this universe, but there's many different aspects of universe.
Oh, no, I know.
So we won't go into that.
There's a hundred, at least 100 billion stars in our galaxy. There's probably at least 100 billion galaxies. And I would imagine there's probably 100 billion universes.
Well, there's like, we call it on space, we call it Omniverse.
Omniverses.
So you can That's great. Here now, but you're also in these other places.
Yeah.
I was going to mention the beings that I know. Just so people don't have any fear, I know people think of grays when people say, or some kind of reptilian creature looks like, you know, T-Rex coming at you. There are beings that resemble reptiles. They're more advanced looking, but they don't look like your, you know, chameleon on the street or something. Right. But they're very beautiful beings, not all negative. And it's just the way they've come. There's even beings that resemble cat, very little bit like cats. And it was funny when Avatar came out, I was like, wow, they're tuning into something. Well, the beings I know, or my friends, they are about 7, 8, 9 feet tall. And they're like masters or androgynous beings. Elongated eyes, tall, bronze color skins, gold, or different tones of skin, different tones of hair color. And people I've taken with me out of body in my past met them. And so they remember being on the ships with me. So at times we can get people that go for the trip.
All right. We hope a lot of people listening to the show will sign up. So now let's talk about, we only have a few minutes left, so let's talk about where people can see you speaking in New York soon.
Oh, okay. The website I have is Intergalactic Mission with one L, Intergalactic Mission, sometimes people put two, intergalacticmission.com. You can go to the events section or I think it's events, yes, and it'll show you where you could sign up if you want to go. I have a lecture coming up February 20th on Wednesday, next Wednesday. So it starts at 7. It's at the Meta Center here in New York, which is at 214 West 29th Street and the 16th floor. So that's where you can get information, but you can also see UFO pictures I've taken here around New York, which most of them are, that you'll see today on the site are mostly around New York City. Other older ones are from upstate. All the older ones have been documented were documented and checked over by MUFON at the time in 78, but also checked by the SBI, Scientific Bureau of Investigation, in 1979. And I went through PSE evaluators and everything. So those were solid light objects on film. So the investigators worked with me and actually went skywatching with me with the UFOs coming over us. And my wife experienced many things with us in the fields, UFOs hovering over us and everything. And so that's where you can find information. Also email me if you want from that site.
Great. So this is so thrilling to talk with you, and hopefully we'll be talking some more because I think our audience will want us to continue this conversation. It's so valuable because it's truly who we are. This is the bottom line.
Yes.
And
it's like future selves too.
Yeah.
You know, because some of the people that are being communicated with might be an aspect of that person's
future
self. You know, like they could come back through. Time is nothing on the other dimensions.
Right.
They jump around.
So time and space are an illusion that's created by our consciousness.
That's right.
And so our consciousness can change, and so can that.
And that's what they mean by all is now, because they want to go into that.
Right, right.
It's too heavy.
well, we'll climb into things another time. And we only have a minute left, so Mark Brinkerhoff, thank you. This is incredible. You're a wonderful guest. Appreciate how much you have to offer, and it's exciting to talk with you.
Well, thank you. And kids, everybody watch the skies. The entities, they're the signs in the sky. So just communicate telepathically with love.
Great.
Always love. Send love out.
Great. And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com. I can be reached at Peter at HeartRiver, H-E-A-R-T, river.org, or 212-222-7748. And thank you so much for listening, and thank you, Mark.